they're from our church, and they could come up here because Chris just and Ann, they just never meet a stranger, you know. And so I appreciate y'all and befriending them and having them come up here, and they can experience just a genuine move of God and fellowship in the Holy Spirit. It's beautiful. It really is. It's so rare. And I'm so honored. I just felt like I'll just come up here tonight and I will say, my Lord, the preaching this week. So ditto to Jeremy and to John and to Daryl and to Terry. And praise God. Let's go, you know, play laser tag now. It's like, this has been awesome. What can you add to that? Honestly, but Jesus is so infinite that there is more. And I just want to share with you tonight what God has put in my heart for us as a church, for us as an end times people. And I pray that you will take this to your heart and take this to God tonight. I've been praying for such a long time that God would do an eternal work in every one of our lives. Amen. And I believe there's a special call that God has upon our young people. And I just want to comment the trials that we go through in life, Jeremy and Kaylin, the things that y'all have passed through, God's really brought you somewhere. He's brought you to a place of such maturity and strength and anointing. And I just want to commend y'all walking through it as Christians and seeking the Lord. It's because your life has become so beautiful, so much more beautiful through that. I want to express my appreciation to this church. Carly and I want to thank all of you for your hospitality to us. It has been so amazing. It always is. And that's one of the reasons we love to come up here. We just are treated so royally, and it's just beautiful, and we thank you. Everybody has been so kind to us. Marie and Joe had us to their house and had some wonderful chicken. And she didn't do it last year, and I told her, I said, hey, I just invited myself for this year. You know, so thank you for having me over. Jeremy's saying, I'm glad you asked. He got to come too. And so that was a delight. And so thank you, church in Wisconsin. You're a beautiful people. We love you so much. And we thank God for your fellowship. I want to give honor to all of the pastors and ministers that are here tonight. Your value has nothing to do with the size of your church, but the size and the awesomeness of your God that you serve. Amen. God has called you and God has appointed you. There is nobody more significant than you. A church that has a lot of people is not a greater church than yours, and it's not a greater pastor than you are. You're doing what God has called you to do, and you are where God has placed you to be. If the Lord doesn't build the house, whoever's building it is laboring in vain. It is not worth having if God did not build it. So I commend all of you ministers and pastors. Stay strong. The end is in sight. The rapture of the church is at hand. And we're about to meet Jesus Christ face to face. Hallelujah. With all of your heart, with all of your might, run this race. Don't look back. Don't look to your right or your left. Look at Jesus. You have been privileged to be alive in this moment in time. It's one of the few moments in all of human history that I think people would choose to live in. I believe the prophets would have chosen to see the events that we're seeing. What saddens me is how blind so many believers are today. And they don't see it. They don't see the hand of God. But I pray that you will. I pray that you are. And so I just want to thank y'all. And a special thanks to Terry and Joy. Y'all truly are our great friends. We love you so much. Terry and I counsel a lot together, pray a lot together, want to serve pastors and churches together, and we strive to do that. And so you're a great friend to me, and I want to thank you for your leadership, bringing us together, having such a life in the Spirit, because that's what all of this is about. God has birthed something in you, and you have planted that in every one of us. And so I just want to thank you, Terry. I mean that. It's a great blessing. It is a great blessing. I want you to stand with me. I want us to pray together. I want you to pray for me. I'm going to pray for you. I want us to pray to God. And I want us to begin tonight by thanking the Lord. Hasn't He been good to us? God is so good. And He deserves this praise. He deserves our thanksgiving. So I want you to lift your hands where you are. And then I want you to lift your voices. Come on. And let's just pray. We're the people of God. And Lord, we stand before you tonight and we want to thank you, God. We want to magnify you, God. Lord, we give you all of the glory and all of the praise. Lord, I thank you for touching those young people here Tuesday night. I thank you for those that you filled with the Holy Ghost. I thank you for the burden, God, that you have put in others who are pursuing you, God, and they shall be filled. God, I thank you that you are the risen King of Kings and Lord of Lords. That swinging from your girdle are the keys to hell and to all of those domains. That you are the Supreme Lord. That, Lord, you are with us to the very end. And we are not alone and we are not forsaken. Oh, God, we love you tonight. We worship you tonight, Jesus. Your name has been blasphemed in this earth all day long. But we are a people who stand to praise your name and to lift up the name of Jesus Christ. For there is no other name that is above your name. And we worship you and we adore you and we long for you, God. I thank you so much, Lord, that you will minister this night for your glory and for your honor. Let Jesus be seen. Just let us see him, God. Holy Ghost, come and let us see Jesus. We want him to be lifted up. Come and glorify him and magnify him. Oh, Father, we thank you, Lord, with all of our hearts. Help me tonight. Help me tonight to not chastise your church, but help me tonight to encourage your church. Help me tonight to build up your people. Help me tonight not to focus on what is wrong, but what is possible. Oh, Father, I pray that you will show us your heart and what you desire to do in the earth right now, what you've been doing and what you will do. In Jesus' name, give the Lord praise tonight. Hallelujah. Praise God. Praise God. You can be seated. I want you, if you will, I'm going to read tonight. We'll start in John 19. And we'll begin there eventually. And we're going to talk about several things that God has stirred in my heart. It's amazing, all of these messages. John Kimball blessed me so much. I thank the Lord for the anointing on his life and his ministry. I thank God for Terry, just bringing us to the glory of God. Daryl Turner is so mighty, so wonderful in his usefulness to the kingdom of God. And we're blessed to be able to know all these men. And of course, Jeremy, what a preacher that man is. Amen. Praise God. So I want you to know tonight, and I want you to hear my heart in this, I am unashamedly a Christian. And in this world today, the one that I love is despised. I would say to the degree that he was when he first came. And if he were here today, I believe he would be as rejected and despised among men, and even so many in the churches that claim his name. But I want to stand here before you tonight humbly to tell you that I unashamedly love Jesus Christ. He is the lover of my soul. I am in love with him. He is not a theology to me. I am not a theologian. I'm not a professional. I am the base and the most uncommon of people that God could find. And he likes me. Now you think I'm just saying that. I mean it. He likes me. We have an incredible relationship. There is an incredible presence of God in my life that I can only attribute to the grace of God. I met Jesus when I was 5 years old. I was baptized in the Holy Spirit when I was 6 years old. I am the worst child he's ever had. I am the most rebellious, the most disobedient, the biggest complainer, the biggest murmur, the least faith, that of all of God's kids, I'm the worst. And I testify to you of God's amazing grace that God has only had one good son. And only one son that he has been able to say, "This is my beloved son in whom I'm well pleased." And that one beloved, amazing son has suffered and has been horribly rejected in order that I might be qualified to have a relationship with Almighty God. And he unashamedly loved me naked on a cross in front of the world, with his body laid open from a brutal attack by Romans, one of the most horrific deaths that a man could die, being nailed to a Roman cross, defecating on himself in public, God, because he loves me unashamedly, and I am not ashamed of him. I love him. And I guess the only reason I'm here tonight is to compel your love for Jesus Christ by the love he has for you. Amen. Jesus told us what the Father was looking for. He's not looking for preachers. He's not looking for evangelists. He's not looking for teachers. He's not looking for theologians. He's not looking for musicians. He's not looking for praise teams. He's not looking for young people. He's not looking for old people. He's not looking for men, and he's not looking for women. He's looking for worshipers, which I believe is one of the most lacking things in the body of Christ today. And again, I'm not here to point out what is wrong with the Church of Jesus Christ. But I do want to inspire us to the possibilities that God has laid before us. God is looking for worshipers who will worship him in spirit and in truth. It is of these people, from every walk of life, from every nation, every race and tribe and people, whether they're young boys, young girls, elderly men, elderly women, whether it's people that are confined to wheelchairs or others that have the strength to scale mountains with the gospel of Jesus Christ, it does not matter. He is looking for worshipers that he can transform to preach his gospel, to evangelize this world, to boldly go into all of the earth and declare to all men who Jesus Christ is, because they love him. They're in relationship with him and they're unashamed about it. And I want you to be unashamed about your love for Jesus Christ. I want you to bear his reproach. He's hated. You're going to be. This world despises him. They want to tear the statues of Jesus down. They want to burn the Bibles of God in this country. They want to remove, not only defund police and all of that, we want to remove Christ from our society. And they've been doing this, I guess, since the history of our country, but predominantly since the 1960s. There is a Marxist attempt to overthrow the United States of America and Church of Jesus Christ. Say no! Stop it. Prevent it. Because of the possibilities of Jesus Christ. And so I want to inspire you to that. But what he's looking for is worshipers. Men and women who are unashamed to worship Jesus Christ and bear his reproach and carry who he is out into our streets and into our schools and our communities and our businesses, because I am unashamedly a lover of Jesus Christ. We have lived in our churches and we have spoken so boldly in the four walls of our churches, and we speak so timidly in our supermarkets and in our malls and in our schools and our workplaces. It is time to be bold for Jesus Christ. It is time. This is the moment. This is the day. This is the hour. He is coming. You're about to meet him. Bring as many people with you as you can. For God's sake, do something. For God's sake, do something. And that is what is in my heart to preach to you tonight. One of the young men asked me, what you preaching on tonight, preacher? And I said, extinction and wax museums. And that's what he did. He laughed. What? You serious? What do you mean? Yep, that's what it is. And I want this to be brought to your attention for this reason. I believe worship is misunderstood in the Church of Jesus Christ today. I believe very few Christians, very few believers understand the invitation of worship. The gift of eternal life, and then even so precious in that gift, the baptism in the Holy Spirit unlocks in you every capacity of intimacy with an infinite God. There is no way that you can get your finite mind around an infinite God. There is no possible way that the depths and the limits of your heart can love God sufficiently or even experience His love that has no limits. There is no way that this infinite God can begin to share thoughts with mere mortals, and those thoughts would not cause our minds to explode. We would not understand them. They would be foolish to us. How can this infinite, almighty God have some kind of relationship and communion with us where we can say, I love Him and He loves me and I am in relationship with Him apart from the Holy Ghost, who gives me unlimited capacities of joy, unlimited capacities of happiness, unlimited capacities of understanding, that I don't have to relate to God with this mind, because there's the mind of the Spirit that is in me that can talk with God and walk with God and smell God and feel God and touch God and know God. And the Holy Spirit gives us that capacity, and that's what God's intention is in worship. Is to unlock every capacity in you to be overwhelmed and in awe of God. How precious He is, how close He is, He can be touched. The eye's not seen, the ear's not heard. It's not entered into the heart of man, the things that God has prepared for those that love Him. But God has revealed them to us by His Spirit. I pity you believers who do not know what I'm talking about. I pity the limit by which you live. I pity the love that you're starved for. I pity the intimacy that you desire with a God that you confess, but you have not stepped into His presence and had Him touch you. I pity the fact that probably you've never smelt the entrance of His presence as you began to praise Him, and you literally stopped and said, my God, what is that smell? There is a God waiting to be experienced. And this is worship. And this is what brings love. And this is what brings the transformation of our life. And this is what makes cowards courageous. We've seen something. We've seen somebody. We went to Colorado recently, my wife and I. It's a beautiful place. God's creation is astounding. I by no means, what I'm about to say, mean that I can't appreciate the creation of God. I can just behold it and wonder at it. But people were asked, how was it? How beautiful? I said, when you have seen Jesus. Come on, guys, I'm not talking about a theology. When you've seen Jesus, what is it that can compel you? I don't want streets of dirt. I want streets of gold where my God lives. And so I say this to you because worship is basically this. It is a spiritual exchange. It is a spiritual intercourse with God. One of the most precious experiences where we find this is when a woman was at the well in Samaria and Jesus encountered her. And Jesus initiated it because God alone can initiate worship. And God initiates this and He says to the woman at that well, give me water to drink. He was by no means talking about that water in that well. As a matter of fact, God said in the Psalms, if I were thirsty or hungry, I would not tell you. I own the cattle on 1,000 hills. But what I want is that life of yours. And that's what Jesus was saying to the woman at the well. Give me your water. Give me your life. And she was intrigued that he would speak to her. And she initiated or responded to his conversation. And she said, why are you talking to me? And he said, if you knew who I was, you would ask me for water and you'd never thirst again. And now worship begins. Started by Jesus, give me. Responded by her to God, give me. And that is worship. Where God comes and God begins to initiate relationship with your life. And God says, give me. And God is real and God is there. And God has stirred your being. And you respond back to God, give me, God. God says, I want your life. I want your heart. And we respond back to God, I want your life. I want your heart, God. You said to seek your face. My heart said, oh God, your face will I seek. And this is worship. It's that exchange. It's foreign to so many people. It's foreign to so many believers. But I believe that God is the God who is pursuing it. And I believe that God wants this with you. And I believe that God desires it. A woman can marry a man and be his wife. But she will never become a mother from a distance. And you can get into a relationship with Jesus Christ and be a believer, but you will never give birth to the things of God from a distance. Therefore, if the church does not worship God, we will become extinct and we will be a wax museum representing a life that once was. But it has no power and it has no vibrancy and it has no ability. And there are churches all over America right now that look like that. They are extinct. And if they do gather, it's like wax museums. The semblance of life, but there's nothing there. No passion, no heat, no fire, no God, no knowledge. Waxed professors who stand in pulpits to tell us about a God they don't pray to, a God they don't praise, and a God they don't worship. And we're losing our people. Beloved, our cities are on fire and there's churches all over them. Where's God? Where's the presence of God, the power of God, and the might of God? The church is not going to solve this problem. God is. The church is not going to be the difference. God is. And the means by which God moves is the church. And I have been praying for weeks and months now, God, forgive us, forgive me, that we have attempted to preach the gospel of Jesus Christ without a real desperation for the Holy Spirit to supernaturally partner with us. In Acts chapter 4, the Bible tells us that the apostles had been beaten and persecuted, and they were threatened to not speak in the name of Jesus anymore. And so when they were released, they went back to their company, which was a prayer meeting going on. And they came together and they prayed and they said, Lord, behold their threatenings. And not carry us through in an underground situation, but God, give us courage to speak your word. But we understand that just speaking your word is not enough. We ask you, Lord, now, if we speak it, you stretch forth your hand. You've got to accompany this with miracles. Heal, deliver, do signs and wonders for your holy child, Jesus Christ. And the Bible says that the Holy Spirit came and he shook that place. And in the shaking of that house, everyone was filled with the Holy Spirit. And the Bible says he gave the apostles great power to witness the resurrection of Jesus Christ, and great grace was upon everybody. Praise God. That word witness is irrefutable evidence. The Holy Spirit came to that prayer meeting and he gave them power that they might be in the hands of the Holy Spirit, irrefutable evidence of the resurrection of Jesus Christ. I've been saying this a lot lately. I want you to hear this. When the Holy Spirit wanted to give irrefutable evidence of the resurrection of Jesus Christ, he did not take the world to an empty tomb. He took the world to a supernatural church that could pray for the sick and they were recovered, and could cast out devils and raise the dead and call the lame to walk, and would call sinners back to God. There was a power in their life because there was a relationship with God in worship. And that fire has got to be restored in our lives. And I believe the same thing is here today. I believe we have decades of people, a generation of young people that have never seen a demonstration of Jesus Christ, though they have heard many people preach His gospel. They have not seen the demonstration of Jesus Christ. And I believe the jealousy of the Holy Spirit is that we would begin to be desperate for Him and call upon Him and pray for Him to come in the preaching of the gospel of Jesus Christ and say, Holy Ghost, You have to be there. You're the all-important one. You've got to demonstrate the resurrection of Jesus so all men will be convinced that Jesus is alive. That young people will be convinced that Jesus is alive. These young people in our streets are not stupid and they're not ignorant. Embracing communism and socialism and Marxism. Wanting to tear down a capital society that gives them every opportunity in life. It's not because they're stupid or because they're ignorant. It is because the God of this world and the course of this world is taking them away in that spirit of darkness because it's a cause and it's exciting. But where is the cause of Jesus Christ that is much more exciting? God wants to be in a relationship with you of blessing. Hear me, please. God wants to be in a relationship with you in blessing. God wants to bless you. God wants you to be highly favored. God wants you to walk in this world with a real and tangible evidence in your life that you walk with God. It matters to God. In Exodus chapter 4, Moses had an encounter with God. And God says, I want you to go to Egypt and I want you to deliver your people, for their cries come up to me. And Moses has this encounter with God and he basically says to the Lord, Lord, if I go there, nobody's going to believe that. Nobody's going to believe that I met with you. Come on, young people. You stood in this altar Tuesday night. What good is it? I'm serious. What good is it? Oh, I spoke in tongues. Praise God. I got happy. Praise God. I was touched by God. Praise God. When you go back to school and you go back among your friends, is there an evidence in your life that God literally touched you? Who's going to believe this? Who's going to know this? How will they know that I've been with you? And all God needed was Moses' stick. So God doesn't say, give me your PhD. Give me your seminary experience. Give me your riches. Give me your wealth. Give me your value. No, give me the most insignificant thing in your life. Well, I guess that'd be me, God. Give me that then. And I will do wonders through that stick, Moses. And when you go to Egypt, they will know that I met with you because it matters to me. And it matters to God that people know that you are His people. God wants to do mighty things in the earth. We're Pentecostal people. And yet most Pentecostal people are going around saying, I want to see the book of Acts live again. And so many people are. John Kimball's seeing the book of Acts live again. You hear his testimonies of what's going on in their life and in their ministry. I want to say this to you about the blessing of God. The blessing of God is supernatural in its nature. It is of great power. Thrusting the one who is blessed into a favored position among men. A man must be prepared for that kind of blessing. That's why you're going through hardship. That's why the church is dealing with COVID. That's why the church is dealing with problems and pandemics. That's why we're dealing with betrayals and rebukes. That's why we're dealing with problem deacon boards. That's why we're dealing with problem members. Those that are mad because you don't meet. And those that are mad because you do meet. And then the others that are confused because you don't know what to do, preacher. Why are you going through this? Because God's preparing you for His blessing. the blessing of God just rested upon you without a preparation or me, it would destroy me in a moment. There'd be so much pride in my life because of what God wants to do with me. He would never be able to use me. You are made to be blessed. You must realize that God also must prepare you for that blessing. The great anointing that you admire in the saints came at a great price. Anointing always comes out of weakness and brokenness. Always. Everybody wants Paul's power, but nobody wants Paul's thorn. But I will submit to you tonight, you cannot have his power without some type of thorn. Paul's ability to know the power of God and the grace of God on his life was because he was brought to nothing. Can you be brought to nothing so the blessing of God can rest upon you? How many would let Peter preach in their church after he denied Jesus? After he cursed Jesus publicly? How many people would let Peter preach in his church? How many people would let Peter preach in his church a month later or 2 months later or 6 months later? We would deem how much time he would have to be on probation before he was qualified to preach again. But on the day of Pentecost, when there were many wonderful people up in that upper room, for example, John the Beloved, the Holy Ghost didn't choose him. He chose the denier to preach to deniers because he's a broken man. Pastors, oftentimes we overlook the greatest fighting force in our churches. Consider David's mighty men, depressed, distressed, and in debt. Pastors today would abuse them and scorn them and chastise them. David became their captain. It's that good-looking life that you're after, Pastor. It's that good-looking life. That well-presentable man, that deacon material, that preaching material, that teach. Beware, a monster hides behind that flesh. Better to choose an exposed sinner who's got nothing left to hide, who has been redeemed and empowered by the grace of God, and he is humbled now and desires nothing but the glory of God. Oh, people, that we would understand this. I exhort you, parents, please listen to me. I exhort you, parents. I exhort you, elders. I exhort all of you in the church. If your children stood in this altar at any time, and lifted up their hearts and lifted up their prayers to God and prayed to be filled and prayed for God to touch them and pray for God to strengthen them, and they had an encounter with God or an experience with God, or if they just mustered up as much courage as they could to even go into an altar, don't you dare, parents, quench that in the home. Because they fail, they do something wrong, they disobey, they rebel, they do something that you're not pleased with. Say, oh yeah, I saw you in that altar, you didn't really mean that. Oh my God, they did mean that. And how many times could somebody come up to us as an elder and say the very same thing to us when we have failed? Encourage the body of Christ to go on. Don't destroy what it is seeking. Don't destroy another person's faith. Don't destroy another person's desire. I have watched my kids. I love my children. I have watched them grow. I watched them serve God. I'm so blessed that they serve God with me. I'm so thankful to God for that. My children, like everybody else's, we have had to deal with so much in their life. But I would never discourage the work of God in their life. I would always encourage that. And I would always strengthen that. We need to do that for one another. And I pray to God that you will. The greatest limitation is not the deaths that we died yesterday, but the way that men bind us up because we did die. We did fail. And we did sin. And God comes along and he defeats the deaths and the sins that we were drowning in, and he delivers us, and then he shouts to the church, loose him and let him go. You bound him up, not me. You put the grave clothes on Lazarus. I did not. You take them off of him. I believe there are people in our church that need to be loosed and let go. I believe there are people that have a past that they're very ashamed of. And you think everybody can look right through you, and you're so discouraged because you just don't feel like you amount to anything. Well, I'm going to tell you, people that won't let you live under God do not value the blood of Jesus Christ. They can't get past what you did. God has already buried what you did, and He has made a new creation out of you. And God wants to do things now through your life that you would have never seen happen again before. The anointing does not come from your experience. It comes from your brokenness. The blessing of God is not you getting what you want, but it is God getting what He wants. The anointing is not the result of your dedication or years of ministry, but the revelation and the desperation for God's grace in your life. The anointing does not come from sitting in a classroom. It comes from sitting in the presence of God and learning how to love your enemies. The blessing of God is something that is very real and tangible. It can change a man's life, transform a neighborhood, revive a church, convert a nation. The blessing of God is supernatural in its substance. Mary was blessed by God when she met the angel and said, "Blessed be thou among women." But she would live the next 30 years in reproach until her son stepped into that Jordan River. And God opened up the heavens and declared to all men, "You've called him illegitimate for too long. That's my son." And Mary was justified. She was blessed that whole time but lived in a reproach until God delivered her from it. People don't see who you are. Keep plowing, Elisha. Your day's coming. God hears the cry of your heart. The blessing of God is mighty and it will elevate those who are low. You have no idea what I've suffered to know what I know. You have no idea what my suffering has procured for you. You do not know the deaths that I've died. Just because I don't smell like a corpse doesn't mean I haven't been through hell and death to know who I know. I'm telling you this. His promises to me are yes and amen. Hallelujah. His promises to me are yes and amen. I'm not speaking about arrogance right now. I'm speaking about a God of unfathomable love, unmatchless grace, and incredible redemption, who has brought me into a relationship with Himself by which I cannot boast one degree about myself. But I can say that my God loves me, and oh, how I love Him. You better think twice before you mess with me. You hear me? I'm not being arrogant. Think twice before you mess with me. There is Christ who lives in me. You're not just dealing with who you see. There's somebody else in here. And when you raise a hand against me, you're raising a hand against Him. I had a preacher back home. This was about 25 years ago. He was an elderly man then. Pastored one of the charismatic churches in our city. Very successful. Thousands of people would go to his church. We're starting up our church. People are coming in. There's an exciting move of God. People are being saved, baptized in the Holy Ghost. We're a Pentecostal church. We want to walk with God. He started spreading lies about me. He started spreading rumors about me in the town. I guess he was jealous. I'm not sure why he did all of these things against me. I was nothing compared to his great ministry that he had in the city. I favored this man. I loved this man. I'd even gone to services that he held. I still to this day have one of the deepest respects for him. But when he started spreading these things about me, he was suddenly stricken with a brain aneurysm. Most people do not survive that. We didn't understand exactly what was going on with this man, but everybody in the city was praying for this man. This pastor, precious in so many people's eyes, out to destroy what God was building through our life. About a few days, 3 days into his being in the intensive care in the hospital, the Holy Spirit spoke to me. And the Holy Spirit said, you have to go into that hospital. You have to go into the intensive care unit. You have to walk into his bedroom, regardless of who is there. And you must tell them, God has sent me here to pray for your healing. God has sent me here to show you his love and grace. And I am no threat to you, but I am a brother to you and I love you. And it was the hardest thing for me to do. Is God really telling me to do this? These people despise me. But I walked into the hospital room. I went into the ICU room. His wife was there. His son was there. His daughter was there. Her husband was there. And here's Lee Shipp, of all people. What in the world are you doing here? Is what they said to me. And I said, I am here because God told me that if I would come and pray for your dad, he would get up from this hospital room today. And now look, that's presumptuous, right? If it's not faith. And the mother's angry, and the sister's confused, and the son, who we text even to this day, he said, what would it hurt, Mom? Let him pray for Dad. We'll find out right now if he's false or true. And I prayed for him, and God healed him and raised him up from that hospital bed that day. Brother Terry asked me when Pastor Clendenin died. I said, 2009. I know it well. In 2009, I entered into one of the most severe valleys that I've ever walked in my life. I walked into a battle with hell that I would never want to face in my life. Brother Clendenin passed away a week apart from my father, who passed away in December of 2009 as well. It was one of the most difficult moments, difficult weeks of my life. And then from that moment, I entered into a time of suffering and a time of trial and a time of affliction and a time of stripping, that God would deal with my pride and God would deal with my competitive spirit and God would deal with my jealousy. And God would deal with my arrogance. And I began to see how gross I was and how ugly I was. And I had some of the most God-awful things rise up against my life from my own family. I couldn't go to sleep at night. As Daryl would talk about last night, I would sit in an office off of my bedroom and I would sit in there all hours of the night and cry to God and weep to God and pray to God. Take me home. I don't want to live. My life is worth nothing, God. And I would pray and I would cry to God, why is all of this happening to me? And God says, because I'm preparing you. I'm prepared. Well, I don't want to be prepared. Let me work at Walmart or something. I don't like this. This is not my cup of tea. And God would begin to grind at me and grind at me and grind at me. And the hounds of hell would rise up against my life. Psalm 27 became an anchor of my life and an anchor of my soul. And one night in 2014, about 4 in the morning, 4:30 in the morning, I woke up with the deepest groans in my spirit I've ever felt in my life. My pillow was soaking wet from tears and crying. I'd been sleeping. I didn't even realize this was going on. 2014, about 4:30 in the morning. And I woke up with these groans that are going on inside of me, and I'm groaning and I'm groaning, and I knew immediately this is Romans chapter 8. And I knew immediately that the Holy Spirit was praying for me. And then I knew immediately if the Holy Spirit was praying for me, then I've won. And in that morning of 2014, God delivered me from that oppression of hell, and then I found myself safely in the hands of God, who continued to strip me, who continued to expose me, who continued to break me, who continued to allow betrayals to come against me, who continued to allow me to suffer the loss of all things, but not Him. And He taught me how to praise, and He taught me how to worship. And I prayed to God, I said, what were you praying that night? What were you praying that night, oh God, when you woke me up with those groanings from my own sleep? And I believe the Holy Spirit just brought that to my mind. Psalm 27, with the wicked, even my enemies came upon me to eat up my flesh. They stumbled and fell. And though a host should come against me, my heart will not be disturbed. And if war should break out against me, bless God, on this I am confident. One thing have I desired of the Lord, and that will I seek after, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, and behold His beauty, and inquire in His temple. For in the time of trouble, praise God, He shall hide me in His pavilion, in the secret of His tabernacle. There is a hiding place. And I tell you, a lot of people don't know that. I got a hiding place now. You can't touch me. You don't scare me. You don't threaten me. Because He did a work in my life. And I know who You are. Oh, proud man. You're me. And there's only one good Son. And He's the hiding place. And He loves me. He loves me. I wouldn't be here tonight if He didn't love me. And I love Him because He loves me. How precious is the Lord? How precious is the Lord? I haven't even gotten to my text. He said to me, I will never remember your sins again. He said that to me. He said it to you too, if you're a believer. I will never leave you. I will never forsake you. I will come and get you so that you might be with me and behold the glory that I've had with the Father from the beginning of time. No weapon ever formed will prosper against you. When you pass through the fire, you will not be burned. When you go through the water, you will not drown. I will put no conditions on my love for you. It's agape. By my grace, I will perfect that which concerns you. When you are in trouble, I will be your present help. I will lead you beside still waters. No good thing will I withhold from you, son. I will deliver you from every bondage. I will fight for you against every foe. I will heal all of your diseases and I will direct your paths. I will give you power and I will give you your daily bread. I will be your shepherd and the restorer of your soul and your shield. And I will marry you. You are mine forevermore. He said that to me. He loves me. He likes me. He's with me. Oh, I want you to know that. I don't have time to go through some of the things that I wanted to go through with you. I wish I had so much time. But I want to get to our text, okay? So I want you to see this. In John 19, we're going to start in John, go back to Luke and Matthew, then to Revelation and Hebrews 11, and we'll stop reading. In John 19... we'll start in verse 10. Then saith Pilate to him, speakest thou not unto me? Knowest thou not that I have power to crucify you and have power to release you? Jesus answered, you could have no power at all against me, except it were given you from above. Therefore he that delivered me unto you has the greater sin, which is the Jews. In chapter 18 of John, verse 37, Pilate said to him, are you a king then? Jesus answered, you say that I'm a king. Now listen to this, church. To this end was I born, and for this cause came I into the world, that I should bear witness unto the truth. Everyone that is of the truth hears my voice. I hope you're seeing what Jesus is facing. In Luke 22... turn there quickly. Jesus says in verse 53, It says, then Jesus said to the chief priests, the captains of the temple, and the elders which were come to him. Now listen to this. Be ye come out as against a thief with swords and staves? When I was daily with you in the temple, you stretched forth no hands against me. Now listen. But this is your hour and the power of darkness. My God. In chapter 24 of Luke, verse 7, the Son of Man must be delivered into the hands of sinful men and be crucified and the third day rise again. Matthew 26, verse 45. He's in the Garden of Gethsemane. His sweat is becoming blood. He asked his disciples to pray with him, but they could not. They fell asleep. I don't understand why we don't have prayer meetings in our churches every day. To me, I guess I can only conclude we really don't realize how close the coming of the Lord is and the peril that men are in. I believe that there is a Marxist overthrow of the United States of America. I believe in Daniel chapter 10 when he had a vision of the Antichrist and Michael was sent to give him the answer. That Michael couldn't get to Daniel for 21 days because Michael gave a revelation of spiritual warfare. And Michael said to Daniel, I couldn't get here, but I was sent the day you prayed. But I was restrained by the prince of Persia. And so Gabriel was sent to help me. I broke through to give you the answer. Now I've got to go back and fight with Gabriel because Greece is coming. And Greece is going to overthrow Persia. I'll tell you, my friends, with all of the authority that I can in the Lord Jesus Christ, there is a spiritual warfare going on in the heavenlies right now. And the prince of Marxism is coming to the United States of America. But Daniel didn't have what we have. He didn't have a church that was promised by God, I give you the keys to heaven. Whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven. And whatever you loose on earth will be loosed in heaven. There is a power of darkness. There is a work that it does in the earth. But there is a power in the church. Young people, I would tell you, wake up, young people. This world's not going back to the way that it was. Your dreams, your career choices, the plots that you are making for your life, I pray to God somehow some of those things may happen. But I pray more than anything, you will get a hold of the will of God for your life. You will sober up. You will understand that this way of life you have been brought up in has come to its challenge of the end. This election will determine so much. And there will be violence in November, regardless of who wins. It is coming. So in Matthew 26... sleep on now, verse 45, and take your rest. Behold, the hour is come, is at hand, and the Son of Man is betrayed into the hands of sinners. Rise, let us be going. Behold, he is at hand that betrays me. Judas comes with these legionnaires from the Jewish temple, and they come to arrest him. And there is Jesus in verse 53. Now I want you to get this. Thinkest thou that I cannot now pray to my Father, and he shall presently give me more than 12 legions of angels? But how then shall the scriptures be fulfilled? That it must be. This is the hour of darkness. I was born to go to a cross for my Father. I was born to be the sacrificial offering for the redemption of mankind. Pilate, you have no power over me. And all of you legion that come to arrest me in this garden with the cowardliness of my disciples who couldn't pray but wanted to pull a sword out and chop your heads off because they were prayerless. did not know what the will of God is. I could right now call a legion of angels to defend me. I choose not to, that I might do something for God's sake and not my own. And so I say this to you, to the church tonight. Do something for God's sake. Do something for God's sake. Like Daniel's mighty men. Do something for God's sake. Because Daniel's mighty men did something for the king's sake. And that's the only reason they were mighty. There was a lot more soldiers with David besides those mighty men. But those mighty men distinguished themselves because they did things other people were not willing to do. One man came upon 800 Philistines and he took his spear and he killed them all. Not many Christians would do something like that, even in a spiritual arena. Another one of David's men came upon Philistines, 300 of them at one time, took his spear, killed them all. Another one came against an Egyptian warrior, went up to him, took his own spear and killed him. Some men were sitting around a fire one night and King David just happens to say, while the Philistine garrison was in Bethlehem, "Oh, how I would love a drink of water from the well of Bethlehem where I was born." Three men heard that. Probably a dozen more heard that. But three men heard that and they said, "What the king wants, the king gets. And if the king wants a drink of water from the well of Bethlehem, then by God the king's going to have a drink of water from the well of Bethlehem. And we're going to risk our lives to get it for him." And those three men went into Bethlehem and drew from the well and brought David back a couple of water. And David said, "What is this? You wanted water from Bethlehem, O king. Here is your water." Another man killed two lion-like men. And if that's not enough, he actually met a lion. And the lion was in a deep pit in the snow in a winter's day. Now most men would have killed the lion on the safe side of the hole. They would have stayed on top and threw spears into it. But no, any man can do that. But to be a mighty man, I'll go into the pit with the lion and I will kill it with my bare hands. My God, what a man. And he jumped down into that pit and he killed a lion. And I could see him going back to the camp where all of David's soldiers were. And I could just imagine all of those men sitting around their campfires on a cold winter's night with the snow, boasting about one day, "Oh, I'm going to do this for David. One day I'm going to do this for David. One day I'm going to rise up and I'm going to be mighty for David." And then all of a sudden the shadows become disturbed by this object. This object is big. And this object draws closer. It's the figure of a man, but he's dragging something. And he comes closer and he comes closer. And now the fire lights him up. And it's one of our brethren. And he's dragging a lion that he just killed. And he throws it at their feet and says, "Talk on, soldiers. I did something. My God, I did something." And I say to you, for God's sake, do something. I am so tired of hollowed confessions. I am so tired of the church saying what we believe. I am so tired of the church saying what God can do. Moses is pinned in with the Red Sea and Pharaoh behind him. Children of Israel said, "You led us out here to die." Moses says, "Be still and you'll see the salvation of the Lord." And Moses probably falls to the ground and begins to pray. And God says to Moses, "What are you doing crying to me? Get up and lead the people forward. Pray as you go. But don't just spend all of your time praying, doing nothing. There comes a point, you got to keep praying, but you got to get up and you got to go do something." Amen. Do you want to see the nation saved? Go to the nations. Do you want to see Hispanics in your church? Do you want to see blacks in your church? Do you want to see the Asians in your church? Go to them. Go to them. Go to them in the name of Jesus Christ. And like Jeremy so beautifully said, it's the possibility of victory, not always the guarantee of it. I don't know what God's going to do. David's there in that cave of Adullam, 400 men depressed in debt, desperate, could kill a man at the drop of a hat, come into that cave with David. And David understood, this is going to be a big pity party, or somebody's going to have to rise up and make an army out of this. And David did. I'm anointed to be the king of Israel. And he goes and he takes his mother and father. David did. And he takes his mother and father and he goes to the king of Moab. And he said, would you watch my parents for me? Because I'm about to go out into the nation of Israel. And I'm about to fight the battles of God. And I don't know what's going to happen to me. I don't know if we're going to live or if we're going to die. So protect my parents for me because we're going. Sometimes you just have to do something even when you're not sure it is what you got to do. My God, for God's sake, do something. Let's quit talking. Let's quit boasting about how great God is and let's start seeing it. Let's step out in faith. There's a lot of things in the Bible God has already said to do. So go do it. Go preach. Go preach to the nations. People pray to the Lord of the harvest that He would send laborers out into the harvest. Oh God, would you send laborers out into the harvest? Well, let me tell you something. That God answered that prayer. Jesus came from His resurrection, stood with His disciples just before His ascension, and said, now look, when I was here with you before the cross, I said, let's pray to the Lord of the harvest to send forth laborers. But now the cross has been in effect. I've risen from the dead. I'm about to ascend into heaven. I want y'all to understand something. All authority in heaven and earth has been given unto me. And I am with you to the end of the age. Go! Go to the nations. Tell them what I told you. Well, what if they kill us? What if they persecute us? What if they harm us? Jesus Christ took that cross up because He loves His Father so much. He takes that cross up and He bears it upon His body. Any moment on that road, He could have called a legion of angels. He refused to do it because He knew if I cave into this, all is lost. But if I be lifted up, I will draw all men unto myself and my Father will be glorified. I'm going to a cross for my Father's sake. I'm doing something for my Father's sake. And oh, church, I ask you to do something for God's sake. Go and pray for the sick. Dare I say to you, church, go and heal people. And even Pentecostals think that's arrogant. But that's the command of the Lord upon your life. Go and heal the sick. Freely you've received, freely give. And if you want to see the sick healed, pray for them. Find them. Look for them. Be an arrow in the hand of God. Where's an affliction? Where's an oppression? Where's a little teenage girl with her wrist cut? By God, I want to deliver her from that oppression in the name of Jesus Christ and let her know she's loved by God. Look for them. Go after them. You want the nations won. I promise you this, Antifa and BLM is the harvest. It's the harvest of God, but the church hates them. We need the love of God in us. We need the baptism in the Holy Spirit. This is not an optional thing. Oh, I want to have the baptism in the Holy Spirit so I can speak in tongues. I want to have the baptism in the Holy Spirit, and I do believe in the speaking of tongues, but I want to have the baptism in the Holy Spirit because I want every capacity in my life to be absolutely enlarged to know the love of God and the power of God and the presence of God and the glory of God. I want to see Him. I want to smell Him. I want to touch Him. And I want to take Him everywhere I go. Everywhere I go. I was in Dominican Republic, and I won't be much longer. I was in the Dominican Republic. We were in the city of Nagua, and it was an event called the city of Nagua, the city of God. There was 30,000 people in the streets at this meeting. I was the speaker that day. We had politicians, governors, mayors, all types of people were there. There was a barricade that separated all of the platform ministry and all of the political figures that were there. And nobody could cross that barrier. And so we were safely behind that. Somehow a man broke through or got through that barrier. He was not very threatening. He was carrying in his arms what looked to be about a 10-year-old boy, severely crippled. Severely crippled. And so his father had to carry him everywhere he went. And he was walking through this crowd. There was probably 1,500 people there for ministry and politics. And he's walking through this little area, and I just watched. A lot of people were just reaching in their pockets, pulling out pesos. And the man would walk by, and he would be just given the money. And he was appreciative of it. Jeff Lee was with me, and I was sitting there. Jeff was sitting there with me. In a minute, I'm supposed to go preach. I'm not quite sure when, because I don't understand anything that's going on. But I see all of this happening. And this man is walking. He's getting closer to us. And we're Americans, of course, so money. And so I'm reaching in my pocket to pull out some money. And God said to me, "Is that what I've become to you?" I was so ashamed. The man had passed me. And God was dealing with me, and I'm preaching how the might of God, the greatness of God is power. What a hypocrite. And I sat there, and I'm like, "Oh God, I'm sorry that you would become that to me, to reach in my hand and give a man in need money rather than Christ." And I looked up for the man. As I said, there's about 1,500 people all in this area. He was hard to find. I got up, I said to Jeff, "I'm going to find that man, and if they call me up to preach and I'm not here, you do it, because I can't." And I went out into the crowd, and Jeff's like, "What?" You know? And I just go off in this direction, and he's, "I can't find him, I can't find him anywhere." And so I go outside the barricade, I just start walking around the block of the city, and I'm looking everywhere. He's got to be, he's gone. Where did he go? And so I went back to Jeff and sat there with him. And I was so humiliated. And I asked the Lord to please forgive me. And I said to God, "There's no way that I can preach. I feel so ashamed." And God said to me, "You don't preach because you're worthy, but you preach because you're repentant." And I was repentant. And I told the Lord I'd never reach into my pocket again before I reached out in the name of Jesus. And I preached, and God helped me. And again, I don't understand any of their language, but I just knew the things of God, and I just started to say, "Take those barricades down." And the police is all there. And my interpreter's telling him, "Take the barricades down." My interpreter's telling me, after he tells that, "They can't." I said, "Take the barricades down." My interpreter tells him, "Take the barricades down." Then he says to me, "They're not allowed to do this." I said, "In the name of Jesus, take those barricades down now." And the police opened them up. And the sick and the poor and the lost came by the thousands and stood in front of them. The first person I saw was that man, was his son. So I grabbed my interpreter and I said, "Come with me. I'm going to this man." And I went down there with my interpreter. That's how I only know what happened. And I'm praying for this man. I'm telling you, I'm praying so hard I could have created a world. I'm praying so hard. Oh my. Nothing happened. Nothing happened. And I'm like, I don't understand. So now I'm discouraged. Jeff Lee's right there. He's witnessing all of this. Now I'm discouraged. And so it's just like, you still got other people you got to pray for now. And I said, "Oh Lord, whatever he needs, please bless him. Oh Lord, whatever." You know, I'm just depressed. And that man, who was in his mid-60s, I guess, began to scream. He began to holler. He began to jump up and down. It's obviously joy. But I had no clue. And so my interpreter says, Pastor Lee, stop. Do you know what just happened? I said, no. He said, he was blind from birth. We all know him. He can see. He can see. He's jumping up and down saying, I can see, I can see. Now, I can't claim that because I'm depressed. And I'm like, oh, God, help him whatever he needs. Help him whatever he needs. Help him whatever he needs. But just do something for God's sake.
Amen.
Pray for the sick. Go to the oppressed. Deliver them. Proclaim the good news to the poor. And those that think that they could never come to God, go tell them that He will accept them.
Hallelujah.
And that man with that boy that was never touched, he came and he stood there and he asked Jeff, would you hold my son? And Jeff held the boy with my interpreter. And the man took me and he hugged me. And he said, my son was not healed today, but you're the first believer I've ever met. Nobody has ever prayed for my boy to be healed, but you did. And I told that man I was a hypocrite. I was reaching in my pocket for money until God spoke to me and said, do something for God's sake. Do something for God's sake. I want you to stand with me. Church, I beg you with everything in my heart and in my spirit, how long will it be before you stop talking and start doing? Oh, God, for God's sake. For God's sake, go to a cross. For God's sake, go to Calvary. For God's sake, don't call the legion of angels to come deliver you. For God's sake, walk through this power of darkness that's against your life so that the glory of God may be revealed. For God's sake, preach the gospel. For God's sake, be filled with the Holy Spirit. For God's sake, heal the sick. For God's sake, deliver the oppressed. For God's sake, set at liberty those that are bruised. For God's sake, church, do something. For God's sake, you young people who are touched by the Holy Ghost, do something. Quit saying I can't. Quit letting your past disqualify you. It is the blessing of God upon you that changes everything. It is the worshiping life that God is looking for. He's not looking for the professional. He's not looking for the skilled. He's looking for the broken and the humble. He wants to reveal Jesus Christ to this generation. For God's sake, let us start living in a living faith. Faith without works is dead. I don't want to talk about my God. I want God to show Himself strong through me. When I talked about David and his mighty men, they were successful. The Bible says because the Lord was with them, because they were with David. How much more will the Lord be with you because you're with Jesus? David didn't know what was going to happen to him, but he knew, I'm not going to sit in this cave and be depressed all day. You listen to me. For God's sake, get out of your bed and get back to church. For God's sake, those of you watching on this internet, quit living in fear and live in faith. Listen to me. You're commanded by God to not forsake the gathering of yourselves together. You Pentecostal people who live in fear in your homes and you're scared to get out because of a virus, how can you give me a word of wisdom over this internet? How can you work a miracle on my behalf over this internet? How can you discern a spirit? You've got a word we need for tomorrow and we won't hear it. I say to every one of you, for God's sake, get up. Get out of your bed. Go on in the name of Jesus Christ. We may suffer. We may be persecuted. We may be afflicted. We may die. But by God, we will live forever. I want to ask you right now, because I know it in my spirit, that there are many of you that God has been pressing and pressing and pressing, and you have been resisting and resisting and resisting. I am not asking you to rise up in your own power or your own spirit, But I'm asking you, would you come and stop fighting God? And you know you're fighting Him. And would you say to the Lord, Father, pour out your blessing upon me, the anointing of your Holy Spirit, so that in your blessing and under your anointing, you will be able to do through my life what it is that you desire. I will do by the power of the Holy Spirit what you give me to do. I will believe for the wonders of God. I will believe for the miracles of God. I will see them. I will possess them. I will touch them. I will hold them. Pastors, we've met together all week. God, may He richly bless you. But I say to all of you pastors right now, would you come stand with me in this altar? And would you pray, God, let your blessing pour out upon my church. The blessing, remember, is not you getting what you want, but God getting what He wants. Ministers, would you come? God, pour out your blessing. You have not because you ask not. This is not seeker friendly. This is necessary to do the work of God. This is strength. This is love. How many of you would say tonight, God, teach me to worship? Teach me worship, God. Teach me this intimate exchange of life. Put your life in me, oh God. Put it in me. Let me be intimate with you, God. Come on, just begin to pray. Ask Him. Talk to Him. He's your Father. He loves you. He loves you. He likes you. He cares for you. He's not against you. Oh, beloved, He loves you. Those of you in this church, in your families, there's so many parents with young children. How do you know your children are going to be okay? Most of the time, you're not. So what makes you think they're going to be okay? Don't you believe, parents, it's time for the blessing of God? Don't you believe it's time for the blessing of God? Don't you believe, fathers, that you can bring your children into this altar and lay your hands on them and speak blessings over their life? Come on and do it. Take your child. Bring them in here. Lay your hands on them and pray blessings over their life. You're the patriarch of the family. God's given you authority. You can bind the powers of hell. You can bind the darkness that's against them. These kids that are going back to school, learning atheism and communism and socialism, a revised history. In the name of Jesus, come on, parents. Prevail over that through prayer. Commit these children to the Lord. Commit their way to the Lord. Commit your families to the Lord in the name of Jesus Christ. If your churches have run into a hindrance, it's run into a wall financially or with your people or confusion, ask for the blessing of God, the wisdom of God. God, would you step down into my church? And would you bring us past these obstacles? Lord, in the name of Jesus, we speak to these mountains and we command them to be moved. We command them to be thrown into the sea, that there would be no obstacle in the way of your church, that we would think and mind the same thing and be of the same spirit in the name of Jesus Christ. Oh, Lord, would you make us apostles of love? Would you make us flames of fire, God? Would you cause us to unashamedly love Jesus Christ publicly, out in the open? And Lord, would you allow us to be seen loving one another without shame? Not just those that are nice and so well groomed and so religiously neat, but even those that are so fallen, so smelly, so corrupt, so ashamed of themselves. Oh God, let us love them. Let love cover them, Father. Let them be restored to you, God, in the name of Jesus. God, let us be the people. Let us be the people who are humble. Father, we forgive those who sinned against us. And oh God, we pray that we would be forgiven because we've sinned against others. Oh God. Lord, put bitterness away from your church and division and gossip and strife. And Lord, can you pray this with me? Lord, I pray that the wolves that the enemy has sent into the church would become lambs in the name of Jesus Christ. I pray that they would fall under the conviction and the power of the Holy Ghost and give their lives to Jesus Christ. And that you protect us from the work that they were sent to do in the name of Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Praise God. Praise God. How many of you would just say to the Lord, I want to love you openly. I want to worship you openly. I want to decrease that Jesus may increase. God, I want to do things in the power of your Holy Spirit. Shadrach, Meshach, Abednego did not know if God was going to deliver them or not. They did not know, but they did something for God's sake. I may not always know what God's going to do, but I know what He told me to do. By God, I'm going to do it. By God, we're going to see His power. We're going to see His glory. I believe the Holy Spirit is jealous to lift up Jesus in this hour. God. Praise God. Jeremy, I want you to help me because I believe there's an anointing on you, very special for young people. And I honor it. Aaron, I want you to help me. I believe there's an anointing on you as well. And I believe God's restoring anointing to you, Aaron. I believe God has spoken to you in these last few months. And I believe God is increasing the anointing in you and your wife together. It's been you for a long time, but you and your wife together. There's a burden that has grown in her. There's a maturity that has come to your wife, and she is going to walk with you. Together, you're going to see. You're going to see the power of God. Come stand by Aaron. I believe I have a mandate in the Spirit. And I want all the young people in here. I have such a love for the Trembles. Their oldest little girl came up to me tonight. I was sitting in the back and she just sat beside me and she was praying for me. Pastor Lee, I just want to pray for you. I want to pray God will use you tonight. I don't even think she's 13, right? 11 years old. Praise God. So it's never too young, your precious baby. There's an anointing on you. I want to believe with you that you're going to see revival in your school. Aren't you believing for that? You're going to see revival in your school. Because God is anointing. Y'all, this is the hour. Jesus is coming. We may not have much time left. Jesus is coming. So I've asked these guys to help me. I want y'all to listen to me. I really believe this is a mandate from the Holy Spirit. I felt in my spirit 2 weeks ago in our prayer meeting at church to stand up in the name of Jesus Christ and claim the youth of this generation for Jesus Christ. And I want us to stand up in the name of Jesus Christ and claim this youth, this generation, to be the servants of Jesus Christ. Listen, God promised in His Word, in the last days, I will pour out my Spirit upon your sons and your daughters, and they shall prophesy. I want to believe that for our kids. And I'm asking for every young person in this room, and listen, I mean serious. I don't want you to come up here so you can be seen coming up here and everybody thinks, oh, my baby was in the altar. You're not a baby. You're not a mama's baby. You're not a daddy's baby. You're not a person's baby. You're here in this altar to be the servant of the Most High God. I want to love Him openly by the power of the Holy Spirit. I want the grace of God to rest upon me. I want the anointing of God to rest upon me. I'm going to ask Jeremy, Aaron, if y'all will, and I'm going to ask you parents to take your children and stand behind them right now. And all of you kids that say that, I want to be God. Listen to me. I'm going to tell you this. Listen to me, young people. Listen to me. There is a spirit working in this world. It is so powerful. It is so powerful. You see what it's doing. It's burning our cities. It has destroyed our laws and our governments and our way of life. This spirit, this demonic power, does not come and knock and ask permission to come into your life. It imposes itself on you. It looks in you. It searches. The devil, demon powers, it searches. Is there a crack that I can get in? If you have any opening in you, something you listen to, something you watch, I'll come in. I will come in. I will influence you. I will affect you. I will oppress you. I will disturb you. I will confuse you. The Holy Spirit is gentle. The Holy Spirit is kind. And the Holy Spirit comes and He knocks too. But He says, if you will open, I will come in. I will. I will fill up every crack and every crevice. I will be the strong man in your life. And there is no power on this earth or hell that can withstand the power of the Holy Spirit in you. He is everything to you. Do you believe that, young people? How many of you young people tonight would lift your hands where you are and say, I want the Holy Spirit to fill me. I want the Holy Spirit to... Come on, don't be ashamed. If you're ashamed to do this in church, how are you going to do it in school? How are you going to stand up for God in the public if you can't stand in this altar and say, I want the Holy Spirit to have me. I don't want the powers of this world to have me. I don't want the darkness of this world. I don't want the violence and the hate and the bitterness that I see. Now, parents, get behind your kids and begin to pray for them. And pray for their protection and pray for their strength. Help me pray, guys. Terry, help me pray. Help us to believe God for these young people, the anointing on their life. We're going to leave this meeting doing things in faith for the glory of Jesus Christ. We're going to do it for the glory of Jesus Christ. Faith is going to live. Faith is going to operate in the name of Jesus Christ. We will see the glory. Thank you. If any one of you thinks for one moment that I have for one time spoken of your ability, you are greatly mistaken. Or even of your worthiness. It is the holiness and the righteousness of Jesus. And this is what I ask you, church, and I ask of you. This one very simple thing. Do you believe that greater is He that is in you than he that is in this world? And if you believe that, then for God's sake, would you let the He that lives in you out in this world? Not just in the church, but in this world. Go together. Go by twos. Go by threes. Walk in the malls and pray and say, God, give me a divine encounter. I just got to do something for God's sake. I got to write somebody a letter. I got to go to the hospital and pray for somebody. I got to go to a nursing home where somebody's about to die and go to hell because they don't know Jesus. And God's just going to bring me to them and do something. It's so fun. I mean, it really is. It's fun. It's exciting. It's a joyful life. And so I just encourage you to do it. This has been, I believe, one of the most fantastic weeks for me. I'm honored to preach here, but I'll tell you this. Let's not end it, but let's go forth and do it. Let's do it for God's sake. For God's sake, like Jeremy taught us, crawl if you have to, but get somewhere. Get somewhere. For Terry, what he said, for the glory of God, for Brother Turner, and the worship of the Lord, and being in the secret place of God. Brother John, faith, I feel so inspired by him. The faith, the testimonies, I'm just doing it for God. I'm going to buy that property. I'm going to buy that building. I don't have the money, but it's mine. Praise God. That's the life we live. Every one of you, if you believe, greater is He that's in me than he that's in the world. So I just want us right now to lift up our hands and our voices and give thanks to God, and let's praise Him. Come on. Let's praise Him. Lift up your voices. Isn't He good? Isn't He wonderful? I don't have to fear the world. I don't have to fear viruses. I don't have to fear diseases. I don't have to fear devils. I don't have to fear communism. I don't have to fear Marxism. I don't have to fear socialism. I am a child of the living God. Greater is He that is in me than he that's in the world. Let there be the shout of a king in this house tonight. In the name of Jesus, glory to God.
dollars back into church. No, back into preacher. No. Amen. Praise God. My little grandson, Axton, wants to get baptized now. Lord got a hold of him tonight. We prayed with Rocky tonight to receive the Lord. Hallelujah. You know, I realize you don't always have to be able to explain everything. God will work that all out in them. Amen. Just point them to Jesus. Trust Him. Amen. If you can just muster up even a little bit of trust in Him, He can do a lot of things. Amen. Praise God. Thank you so much, Brother Lee. There's nothing I can add to that. There's nothing I can add to anything. We're just, want all your ministers to be blessed, have your churches just be filled with God. Amen. Let the will of God be done. We're just going to pray. We need to pray for one another. We need to hold up each of our churches and watch what God will do. Now is our time. I'm stirred. Now is our time. This is it. We are brought here. As somebody was saying earlier, we were privileged to be born in this generation. Amen. So if all the ministers would just stand up, and then I want the rest of you just put your hands towards them. We're going to pray one more time. Amen. Amen. Just point your hands towards the ministers and let's pray. Lord, we just ask, God, for your anointing to rest mightily, Lord, on them, Lord. We ask you, Lord God, to strengthen them. Bless their churches, Lord. Bless the people that are under their ministry, Lord. Raise up ministers, God, in the body, Lord, whether they're the fivefold or just an everyday minister, God, of your gospel, of your truth, Lord. Hallelujah. We ask you to protect them as they travel home, some flying, some driving, Lord. God, we just ask for your protection upon them, Lord. We ask you to bless their marriages, bless their families, Lord. Hallelujah. Protect them, Lord, from anything that the devil's thrown at them today, Lord. We pray that you protect them and keep them healthy and strong, Lord. And especially, Lord, as they face those trials and fiery trials and difficulties, Lord, that you just keep their hands to the plow. Hallelujah. Not grow weary in well-doing. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. So, God, we just give you all the glory, all the honor, and all the praise for this week of meetings. Lord, and I also ask you one more time to bless these young ones, Lord. God, that you've touched so mightily this week. What a church, Lord, you are going to have. You will be glorified, Lord, in this day and this hour through your church by Christ Jesus. Hallelujah. Amen.